Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Chav Dalet. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Zoltan Bek Gedalia Ben Yisro. At the end of yesterday's share, we brought down the Shita of a Machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Rav Meir was of the opinion that even if a person gave money to an Eved Kenani, and he told him, with this money, not giving you this money personally, I'm giving it to you for to be freed. Nevertheless, the opinion of Rav Meir was that the Baal automatically gets it, and even though he said it's only being given to you on the condition that you will be freed, it doesn't work, the Baal gets it, and therefore the Eved doesn't go free. That was the opinion of Rav Meir, and the Chachamim said, no, in that situation, this is according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said that the Chachamim hold that in that situation, the person does go free because the Adon never was koneh, because the Eved himself wasn't koneh, it was only given on the condition that he should become freed. So that was the machlokes we have between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, and we had said at the end of yesterday's share, and we pick up from the bottom line of Chav Gimel Omud Beis, V'rami D'Rav Meir Ad Rav Meir, V'rami D'Rabbanan Ad Rabbanan. These two shitos are inconsistent with what we're going to learn now in the following Braisa, the Tanya, that we learned in the following Braisa, which we will learn on Chav Dalet Omud Aleph, as we turn there, that in fact, Rav Meir seems to hold the opposite, and the Chachamim hold the opposite. Now, what is this Braisa? The Tanya, the Braisa tells us, Ein Isha Poda Maiser Sheni Below Chomish. That we know that the din is, in regards to Maiser Sheni, if a person redeems his own Maiser Sheni, he has produce, it's consecrated as Maiser Sheni, was mafreshit, making into Maiser Sheni, he doesn't want to schlep it all the way to Yerushalayim, he can go and redeem it. But if you're redeeming your own Maiser Sheni, not only do you pay the principal, but you also have to add on a fifth, which means a fifth from the outside, which is a fourth from the inside. So let's say it was $100 worth of produce, so you have to add on $25. $25 is a fourth of $100, but when you look at it from the total, $125, that $25 is a fifth. That's what we call a chomesh. So this is the din. When you redeem Maiser Sheni that's your own, you have to get away it on a fifth. Now, Ein Isha, the Braisa tells us, Po de Maiser Sheni below chomesh. The Tanakama of this Braisa, which is the opinion of the Chachamim, which is going to now be Sosa, the opinion that I just brought down from the Chachamim from yesterday's shir. So this opinion of the Tanakama, the Chachamim, is a woman cannot redeem any Shapo de Maisa Sheni below Chomesh without adding on that Chomesh. And the opinion of Rav Shimon Elazar, Omer Mishum Rav Meir, so Rav Shimon Elazar says the name of Rav Meir, and this will be Rav Meir's opinion that will not coincide with the opinion that we just brought down for Rav Meir from yesterday's shir. Isha Poda Maisa Sheni below Chomesh. A woman can, in fact, go and redeem Maisa Sheni without having to pay the additional Chomesh. Now, what are we talking about? This Braisa now has to be in accord with the Braisa from yesterday, which, with the understanding, Rabbi Elazar said again in yesterday's shir that Rav Meir holds that the Eved Kenani, if he's given the money, it automatically goes to the master, even though it was on the condition that it should be used to free him. And the Chacham said, no, if you say it on the condition that it should be used to free him, the master is not koneh, and the Eved does go free. So we're going to learn today's Braisa in a similar way, ultimately, and that's going to be in disagreement with the Shitas of Rav Meir and the Chacham from yesterday. So, Hechidami, what are we talking about now in today's Braisa? With the Maiser Sheni being Poda. Ilema, if we're talking about Bezuze de Baal, that the wife takes the money from her husband, and Umaisa de Baal, and the Maiser Sheni was the husband, so then all she's doing is acting as his Shaliach. Shluchuse de Baal ko Ovda, and everybody would say in that situation that, of course, if she's just functioning as the Shaliach of the Baal, that she would have to take off the fifth. So, therefore, that can't be the machlokas over here between the Tanakama, the Chachamim, and Rav Shimon Elazar, Omer Mishum Rav Meir, in this Braisa. Nu, what are we talking about then? If not that, Velo Bezuze Dido Umaiser Didei. Now we'll explain this like Rashi. Rashi says that we're dealing over here with her money, Zuze Dida, but it's the Maiser Sheni of her husband. So in that situation, the Braisa says, Ish Omer Achmona, when the Torah tells us that you go and redeem the Maiser Sheni, Vim Goal Yigal Ish Mi Maestro, Chamishiso Yosef Olav, you have to add on a Chamishis, you have to add on a Chomesh. So in that situation, the Torah tells us, Ish Omer Achmona, Velo Isha, it only applies to the man. And now the words say, and not to the woman, but that's not the way Rashi understands this. Rashi understands this, that it says that it means, Ish Omer Achmona, Velo Isha, Ish Mimasro Amar Rahmanu, a man has to go and add on the fifth when he takes off the pigeon for his Maiser Sheni. Velo Isha Misaser Bala, the Isha ki acher damya. It doesn't mean specifically here the man and not the woman. It means the man and not someone else. The woman over here is just being used as a general term for someone else. That's the way Rashi understands it. Tosis has a different understanding. Dira maskil ella, and he has a different gears in the Gemara. But his problem with Rashi is on the second line of that Tosa, says the Koshel Rabbeinu Tam, where it says lo lo lahaskir ish v'ish aklal. If it's not the man and the woman, it's the man versus someone else. It shouldn't have said the man and the woman. It should have said ella havelei lemeimar mimasro amarachmona below mimaiser chaveiro. It should have said his meiser has to have a chamishus on it, but nobody else has to go and take a chamishus on his meiser. So, in any event, Tosis has a different gear, so then we'll leave it simple with the gears of Rashi, that we're dealing over here with Bezuze Dido, it's her money, but it's his meiser, and therefore, Isha Marachbon of Lo Isha. Therefore, nobody would say in this situation that she should have to go and pay a fifth. She's like an Adam Acher that certainly doesn't pay a fifth. When anybody else redeems your Meiser Sheni, they don't pay a fifth. So we're stuck. What is this Brisa talking about? Ella, Lav Kihaya Gavna. It must be talking about the following scenario. Now we'll see how it compares to the Brisa from yesterday. The Akne Law Acher Mona, that somebody gave this woman a mana to go and redeem the Meiser Sheni, and said, "We are my law." And he said to her, "I'm only giving you this money al minas shetifti bo es ha-meiser. That I'm giving you this money in order to go and redeem this Meiser," which is exactly analogous to the case from yesterday's Brisa, according to the opinion of Rabbi Lazar, that the case is that the Eved Ivri is given money by somebody else to go and redeem himself. It's only given al-minas. Now, in yesterday's shiur, Rav Meir said that doesn't work. And the Chacham said it does work. But over here, in this situation, if this is the case, that the man gave it al-minas, shetivti bo es ha-meiser, the Chachamim, the Tanakhamim, say that that doesn't work, and she would still have to pay the Chomesh. And it's the opinion of Shimon Elazar, Omer Mishum Rav Meir, that says it does work. And, in fact, now she wouldn't have to pay the Chomesh. So, therefore, we have a stira. Rami de Ramei ad Rameir, Rami de Chachamim ad Chachamim. Each of them seems to be saying the opposite of what they said in yesterday's shiur. And therefore, the Gemara says, "If Choshman Allah in Luhu." In yesterday's shiur, we had the exact opposite sheet of Ramei and the Chachamim that we have in today's shiur. So the Gemara gives the first teretz from Abaye. Omer Abaye says, "Yeah, epoch. You have to switch it around." In today's brisa, read it that not that the Tanakhama is the Chachamim, the Tanakhama is Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Omer Mishum Rav Meir, that in fact this woman will have to go and take off the chomesh because it accomplished nothing by saying al minas she that you will go and be poded. Da'achni lo acher mone al minas she tifti bo samayser doesn't work. Rav Meir yesterday said it didn't work. Well, now Rav Meir today says it doesn't work. And the sheet to which we had attributed a minute ago to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Omer Mishum Rav Meir, that in fact is the chacham that says yes, isha poded ma'aser sheni below chomesh because just like it worked by the Eved Kanani in yesterday's sheet to say that the Eved Kanani is poder, so too today. The Meiser Sheni can be poder without taking off the chamishas. Ah, Abaye says very simple, flip around the sheetas, and now they align perfectly. Rav Meir is exactly like Rav Meir, Chacham exactly like Chachamim, and no problem. Omer Abaye, epo, switch it around. On the other hand, we don't like to do this unless we have no choice. Abai says we have no choice. But Rav says we have a choice. Rav Amali, olam lo tepo. In fact, you don't have to switch it around. Because in fact, today's Brisa with the Meiser Sheni is talking about very specific type of Meiser Sheni. This Meiser Sheni did not belong originally to the husband. It belonged to his in-laws. And this Meiser Sheni was, let's say, the wife's father's Meiser Sheni. Then the father passed away. The wife inherited him. So she now owns this Meiser Sheni. And in this situation, while her husband gets the rights to it, here's a separate machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, the Rav Meir l'taimei, and Rav Meir goes according to his shita, famous throughout Shas. The Yomer Meiser Mamon Hekdishu, Meiser Sheni, is not yours in the typical sense of ownership. It's yours to use. You're the one that gets to eat it in your shalayim, but it's not considered your money. It's mamon hekdishu. And the Gemara later on will tell us, that's why it's in Kiddushin, that if a man is makdish, a woman with meiser sheni funds, Rav Meir says, she's not mikudeshes. Because in fact, those meiser sheni funds don't belong to him. He has the right to use them. He has the right to take them to Yerushalayim and eat them there, but they're considered mamon gavoa. They belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Albeit, he has the right to eat it, but it's not considered his. And therefore, if a man is a mekadesh woman with meiser sheni, according to a mayor, l'taimei, She's not Mekudeshes because he didn't own that money. So to over here, this Maisa Sheni that the woman inherited, the wife inherited from her father, it belongs now to her husband, but only in terms of the rights to go and eat in Yerushalayim. Not that it's his. And therefore, this Brisa that we have correctly, that there is no requirement for her to add on a fifth because it doesn't belong to her husband. And therefore, there's no requirement to add on to a fifth. Because as the Gemara says, because her husband doesn't actually own it. As opposed to the Shita, the Chachamim, the Rabbanon, Litamayu, they hold later in the Masechta, that a man can be Makadesh, a woman with Maisa Sheni funds, because they're his. They're not considered Mamon Gavoa, they're considered his Mamon. The Amri Mamon Hejodhu, it is considered the plain person's money. And therefore, just like you can be Makadesh, a woman with it, it now belongs to her husband. If it belongs to her husband, the Kone Le Baal, therefore, Hilkoch Shlichuso de Baal Kovda. Now, when she's going and redeeming this Maisa Sheni, she's doing it as a Shaliach for her husband, essentially, and therefore, you would have to go and pay the fifth. So, in the Brisa that we had in today's shiur, starting at the beginning of the shiur, it's not that the shitas are in discord with yesterday. It's totally talking about a different case. This brisa is revolving around whether we consider Maisa Sheni Mamon Hejot, like the Chachamim, or Mamon Gavoa, like Rav Meir. And that's what this brisa is focusing on. But the din from yesterday is not in any way contradicted. And therefore, there is no stira, no Rami Rav Meir Ad Rav Meir, no Rami Chachamim Ad Chachamim. Now the Gemara tells us, Tano, we learned an additional brisa, Yotze, that the Eved Kenani goes out, B'shein v'ayin, v'roshe evorim, she'en al chosrin. We've had this din previously. This is based upon the Pasuk of Mishpatim, where it tells us, V'chiyaki ish es ein abdo, o es ein amaso, that a man knocks out the eye of his servant, of his Eved Kenani, or the eye of his Shifcha Kenanis, or he knocks out v'imshen avdo o shen amaso yapil, or he knocks out the tooth of his Eved Kenani or his Shivcha Kenanis. In both situations, that lachoshi yishalchenu tachaseino, lachoshi yishalchenu tachashino. So that's what the Pasuk in Mishpatim tells us. Now, the Braisa says, this din is halacha lemaisa, yotze b'shem v'ayin, v'roshe yivarim shenu choshen. But it adds on the roshe yivarim. And we've talked about this in the past. We're dealing here with roshe yivarim that are just like shem v'ayin. In what way? In that they don't get regenerated, and that they're visible. You can see that they're missing. So these Rashi Yevarim are the 20 digits, the 24 Rashi Yevarim over here, although it's really not only these 24. It's Shein V'ayin plus these 24 plus some others. So it's talking about the 5 digits on each hand, the 5 digits on each foot, so that's 20. It's talking about the nose, which is 21, talking about the 2 ears, 22 and 23, and it's talking about the gid of the man, the genitalia of a man, so that's 24. We'll see, it could also be talking about other types of the body, parts of the body, that are similar in that they don't regenerate and that they are, in fact, visible. They're not internal organs, they're visible. Okay, so this is what the Brisa says, that the Eved Kenani goes out with the loss of one tooth or an eye or any of these 24 Rashi Yevarim. Okay, now, Bishlomo Shein V'ayin, certainly a tooth or an eye, Beferish Ksive. It says that Beferish in Parshas Mishpatim. The Chiyake, when the owner hits, as Ein Avdo, O Sein Amaso, or later on it says, Vim Shein Avdo, O Shein Amaso. So those who said Beferish. So Elo Rashi Yevarim, no, how do we know that the Rashi Yevarim are also included in this din, those 24 Rashi Yevarim that we spoke about? So the Gemara answers Dumyu the Shein V'ayin because they're comparable to Shein V'ayin in these two characteristics. Ma Shein V'ayin Mumin Shebegoli. The tooth and the eye are something that's visible from the outside. You can see them. And number two, they no choshim, and they don't regenerate, they don't come back. You knock out the eye, that's it. You knock out an adult tooth, that's it. So therefore, so too, any other parts of the body, av kol mumim, that are shebegoli, that are visible, they no choshim, and it won't regenerate. So therefore, these are going to be similar to the din of shein v'ayin. Now, this is a drasha that we're now going to say, how do we know? The emor, nevi shein v'ayin, kishnei ksuvim boim ki echad. Let us say that shein v'ayin are, in fact, two ksuvim that teach us the same din, that something that is a mum shebegolui and something that is ein chozrin, both of these scenarios, the shame v'ayin, they go out. But this is not a binyan av. This is not a mamotzinu anymore. Because a mamotzinu is when the Torah tells us in one place something, and a binyan av is the same thing as a mamotzinu, and it tells us in one place, and then we can generalize that to all other places in the Torah. Mistam, if the Torah taught it to us in din A, it means it for to be applicable in all other dinim as well. But when the Torah teaches us something in two places, this is called shnei k'suvim boyin ki'echad. And if it's shnei k'suvim boyin ki'echad, then you can't generalize it, because why did the Torah tell it to me in two places? It must be that these two places, as opposed to every place else, and it's not a binyan av, it's not a mamotzinu. And therefore, that's what the Gemara says now, that you're trying to tell me over here that shein v'ayin are similar to these other 24 evarim, and just like they're mumim shebegalui v'ein uchozim, so to all the other 24 mumim are begalui v'ein uchozim, but we can say over here that it's not a binyan av. Therefore, the Eimon Nevi Shem V'Ayin Kishnei Ksuvim Boim Keachod, because Shnei Ksuvim Boim Keachod, Eimon Lamdim. It didn't have to tell us this, and yet it taught it to us in the second place. And therefore, you can't generalize it. You can't make, as Rashi says, Amah Motzinu, a Binyanav, and learn it out to every other place in the Torah. And therefore, the 24 Evarim, how do we learn them out? Shmuel says, no, Tzricha. You needed to tell me Shein, and you needed to tell me Ayin, and therefore, it's not Shnei Ksuvim Boim Keachod. Why is that? Because if the Torah had just written the Kasa Rechmona Shein, if the Torah had just written the tooth, you know what I would have said? Hava Mina. I would have said that this applies Afilu, and we turn to Chavdalit Omud Beis, Shein de Cholav. I would have said that this is a, quote, milk tooth. As Rashi says, Shein Shionakba. This is the tooth that was present in the child at the time the child is nursing. They used to nurse till 2 years, children would have teeth already. The Asid Lachlifa could go be Eved Katan. And this type of a tooth is going to be replaced when you get an adult tooth to come in for this, quote, baby tooth, this milk tooth. And therefore, I would have said, if you only wrote Shein, I would have said that this applies even to a milk tooth, which it doesn't apply to, because the Torah said Shein. So therefore, Kasa Rechmona Ayin, to come and teach me, it has to be an eye that doesn't get replaced. And therefore, the rule is it's only talking about an adult tooth and not a baby tooth. An adult tooth doesn't get replaced. It doesn't grow back, just like an eye doesn't grow back. And that's why it had to tell me the eye, even though it said Shein. No, so just tell me eye, and then I'll know Shein. Because of Rechmona Ayin, if you told me eye only, you know what I would have said? Hava Mina Ma'ayin Shenivra Imo. Child is born with the eyes in place. So therefore, if it was present at the time of the birth, only that type of a mum begolui and a mum that doesn't regenerate is included in this din. Af kol shenivra imo. So only things that were born with the child that are begolui and don't regenerate would be included in this din, but a tooth would not be. Avo shein lo, because the adult teeth and even the baby teeth aren't present at birth. Now, they may be inside the body and just not recognizable, but that's the point, that they're internal and they're not recognizable. So if we just wrote eye, I would have said it doesn't include tooth. If we just wrote tooth, I would have said it includes even a tooth that's a baby tooth, a milk tooth, and wouldn't be, in fact, excluded, which is the din. So therefore, kamash mulan, tzricho, you need both of them to teach me that this is not shnei ksuvim boim kecha, but this is teaching me eye and tooth. Each of them is teaching me something that we now can make into a binyan av. Oh, that's what the Gemara wants to suggest. But the Gemara says, no, maybe we could say, Eimo, kiyake, when it says kiyake ish, so that's a klal, that's a general statement. And then when it says prat, shein, prat, ayin, those are pratim, shein, v'ayin, prat. So it comes to specify specific things, and therefore this is a klal prat. And when we have a klal prat, ein b'chlal, elam ashe b'prat. It comes to have a generalization followed by a prat, a specification. So then the specification is all that's included. Shein v'ayin in, mi the achrin alo. And we wouldn't make it into a binyan av, and we say this only applies to shein v'ayin and not the chavdalad evarim. So why not learn it as a klal prat? Because Mora says, because it's not a klal prat. After ayin, it says lachavshi shalchenu. After shein, it says again lachavshi shalchenu. Chazav a klal. So there is another klal. So this is not a klal uprat. This is a klal uprat uklal. And when you have all three of them, klal uprat uklal, you have to don elakena prat. Here it doesn't mean only the prat, but it means similar to the prat. Mahaprat mifurish mum shebegoli. Just like the prat has two things to it. One, it's a mum shebegoli. It's visible from the external. The einon choshen, and it doesn't regenerate. So to anything that's like this, all the other 24 evarim, the Rashi evarim, they're also afkol mum shebegoli. They're visible, einon choshen, and they don't return. They don't regenerate, and therefore they would also be included. So we learn this out as a klal prat uklal, and that's how we know not only shein v'ayin, but we also know the Rashi evarim. Gemara says, wait a second. If that's true, there aren't two characteristics. There are really three characteristics over here. We have mum shebegalui, and we have veinu cholshin, but there's another characteristic as well. Ima prat mefurish mum shebegalui, like we said, but also ubato mimlachto, it no longer works. The eye no longer works. The tooth no longer works. You can't see with the eye. You can't chew with the tooth. Veinu cholshin, and likewise, they don't regenerate. So there are three ideas in the prat. The shein v'ayin have three things, not just two. And therefore, I would say, av kol mumim, if we want to generalize this to anything that's like the prat, it would have to have all three characteristics. Av kol mumim shebegalui, it has to be visible externally. Veinu chozer, it doesn't regenerate. But also, you need the third characteristic, uvato mimelachto. It has to no longer work. So that would imply that something that doesn't, that has all three of these, would also be included. So Alo Matanya, so why did then we learn in the Braisa that if you were Tolash Bizikono, if you grabbed some Eved Kenani's beard and you pulled at it, Vidildo Boetzem, and you dislocated his jaw in some way, Eved Yotze Behem L'Cheris, the Eved goes free. Now, this jawbone, Ubatum Lachto, doesn't apply. This jawbone is there just for keeping the appearance of the face proper, symmetrical. It doesn't actually get involved in the chewing. That's the way the Gemara understands this. And therefore, in this situation, why would you go free? After all, there isn't batal mimelachto over here. So it only has two of the three, and yet the Braisa says that you go free even with this dislocated jawbone. So the Gemara answers, yeah, because it's not a kala pratu klal methodology that we're darshing over here. It is the different methodology called ribui, miut, ribui, which we've had many, many times, including recently. And therefore, the word lachavshi shalchenu isn't an additional klal, it's ribuyahu. And we darshing this with the ribui, miut, ribui, which is a more expansive system. It's mar b'hakol, with the exception of one thing. So therefore, it's mar b'everything, with the exception of something that is not permanent, but it includes all of these three things, and the one thing that it doesn't exclude is something that's not permanent, something that is chozer. And therefore, the iribui, who the Gemara says, afilu hikol yado, I might have thought that if you hit somebody on their hand, vitsamsa, and it shrivels up, but then v'sof lasor, it will regenerate, it will get better. Nami, that should also be included. After all, you're telling me that we're marbe everything. So why then, aloma tanya, why then is it excluded? It says, hikol yado, if you hit somebody and have it kinani on their hand, vitsamsa, and it shrivels up, the sofa lasso, but then it gets better. In fact, ain't have it yotze balacheris because it is chozer. So where do you learn out that chozer doesn't apply? If it's chozer, the Eved Kenani doesn't go free. Gemara says that's exactly what the ribui and miut are coming to teach us. Ribui is ribui akol, and the miut is imkein shein v'ayim mayahanele. What is the miut if not for this? That it has to be something that is eino chozer. So that's the ribui miut the ribui, which would come to include this bone in the jaw that was dildel, which doesn't have malachto, and nevertheless it is included in this din because we're marba akol, and the one thing that we're not marba is if it's chozer. If it's chozer, like with the hand that's shriveled, but then we'll get better, so then, in fact, the Eved Kenani doesn't go free. Tanu Rabbanan, we're learning the following, Eved Yotzei Ben L'Cheirus. In all of these scenarios, the Eved goes out free. V'tzorech get shichra. But here we need to have a get shichra as well, Divrei Rav Shimon. So with the scenarios of the Chav Dalet Evarim, the din is that the Eved goes free. However, the Eved Kenani goes free, but he still needs a get shichur in order to be able to go marry a Jewish woman. This is the opinion of Divrei Rabbi Shimon. And in fact, the Tana of our Mishnah holds like Rabbi Shimon, and that's why the Tana of our Mishnah did not include shein v'ayin, because you still need a get shichur, and the Tana of our Mishnah was only talking about things that don't need a get shichur. And you can see this in the Tosos, hol medrash chachamim hu. So that's the opinion of the Tanakhama, that you need to get Shechra. On the other hand, Rav Meir ain't no tzach. Rav Meir says you don't need it. Now we have a whole list of Tanaim that agree or disagree with these two statements. Rav Elezer, Omer Tzarech. Rav Elezer holds like the Tanakhama and says you do need to get Shechra. Rav Tarfon holds like Rav Meir, Omer ain't no tzach, get Shechra. Rav Kiva, Omer Tzarech. Rav Kiva holds like the Tanakhama and Rav Elezer that you do need to get Shechra. And Hamachrin, Nechachamim, Omerim, and those that made the final decision in terms of Psak Halach in front of the Chachamim, they held a cross section of these two shitos. Near in Divrei Rabbi Tarfon, they hold like Rabbi Tarfon, which is also the shita of Rabbi Meir, they hold like him in regards to Bishen V'ayin that you do not need a get shichwar. But they hold V'divri Rabbi Akiva, they hold like Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer and the Tanakama Bishar Evorim. So let's read this again. The Gemara says, "Hamachrim of the Chachamim, those that were deciding the halach in front of the Chachamim, they paskin near in the rear Rabbi Tarfon b'shem va'ayin shatorah zochslo, because those were specifically written in the Torah. The dear Rabbi Akiva, v'shari evarim, the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that they in fact need to get shichur. That's for the other 24 Rosh Evarim. Holu knas Chachamim. This is a knas Chachamim. Now the Gemara questions this and says, knasu? This is a knas? Kroy kodarshina. These subsukim that we darshined over here, as we just said, through the ribui, miut, ribui methodology. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elo, holu medrash Chachamim. This is a drasha that the rabbis had to darshin. And therefore, as Tosos points out, two opinions over here. One is that this is a pure din derabanan that you need to have a get shichur, but only for the Rosh Yevarim. Because what's going to happen, this is not as well known, it's a drosh of the Chachamim, it's not as well known, and people are going to go and say, hey, he really isn't the free person. And therefore, the previous owner is going to walk up to one day in the middle of the shuk and grab him back and say, hey, you're my Eved, because people aren't going to know this din. So therefore, one opinion tells us, says, Mid the Rabban, and the rabbi said, write a get shichur, so you don't have to worry about this. Alternatively, Tosus brings down, no, it's a din daraisa, since it's not a drush, therefore you actually have to have a get shichur in order to go marry a Jewish girl. But in any event, it certainly is a drush of the Chachamim, and either you require this get shichur midaraisa or only midarabanan, but that explains over here why the Chachamim, who were machriya, this halacha, they held in regards to Shein V'ayin, that you don't need a get shichur because that's beferish in the Torah, and it doesn't need it. But for the Rosh Yevarim, which was a drusha, you either need to write a get shichur midaraisa or midarabanan. Now the Gemara asks, my time with Rabbi Shimon. What is Rabbi Shimon's reasoning for saying over here that the get shichur is required? So he learns it out. Yolif shiluach shiluach misha. He learns out this din by an Eved Kenani when he goes free. Lachavshi yishalchenu. So he learns it out from the woman who gets a get from her husband. Vishulcham mibeiso. They're both sent out. So shiluach shiluach misha. My isha b'shtar. Just like a woman must go out with a get, with a shtar, so too, Av Eved, the Eved Kenani, Nami Bishtar, has to go out with a shtar. That's Rabbi Shimon's Shita. No, why do Rabbi Meir disagree with him? Rabbi Meir, what does he do with the Pasuk, the Gzeri Shava, Shiluach, Shiluach? It says Shilcha in regards to get, and it says Lachoshi Shalchen in regards to the Eved Kenani. What does he do with this Gzeri Shava of Shiluach, Shiluach? So Rabbi Meir darshins, he says, you're right, 100%, because of just Chavshi, Libisov. If you had written the word not lachavshi yishalchenu, if it said yishalchenu liyotz chavshi, so then I would agree with you. Kidika amris. Then they would be exactly the same. The shulcha is before chavshi, and chavshi comes before yishalchenu. If you were writing it that way, I would agree with you 100%. But look at the pasuk. The pasuk says hashna dekosav. After it says you knock out the shein v'ayin, so it says lachavshi yishalchenu. First you go free, and then you'll be sent free. Lachovshi yishalchenu, both by the shein and by the ayin. So therefore, since it wrote the word lachovshi first, havelechovshi meikara, you're automatically free right away, even without a get shichur. Tana Rabbanon, the rabbis learned the following braisa, hiko al eino v'sima. If you hit the eved on his eye, and you blinded him, but the eye didn't come out. Or al ozno, you hit him on his ear, v'chersha, and you made him deaf, but the ear didn't come out. Eved Yotzit Bam Lechairus. Nevertheless, the Braisa says, the Eved Kenani goes free. But, Neged Eino, Veino Roeh, Keneged Ozno, Veino Shomea, Rashi explains that you didn't actually hit him there. You made a noise. Shehiko Bekotel V'Hivisu. You banged on the wall and you created a fright for him with a large noise. You shocked him. Veino Roeh, and then as a result of that noise, he was shocked and now he can't see or he can't hear. In this situation, you didn't actually hit him. In the first part of this brisa, the slave was actually hit by the master. In the second part, you just made a loud noise and you scared him and his sight went away or his hearing went away. In that situation, ain't Eved Yotze Behem L'chairus. So the Eved doesn't go free. So the ratio of this brisa, we understand. You hit him, you cause him to be blind, you cause him not to hear. That's why he goes out. But why, in regards to this noise that you made, this call that you made, that blinded him or made him deaf, he doesn't go out. So Amar Rav Shemin, Rav Ashi asked this to Rav Ashi. this implies from this brisa, the way we understand the sefer of the brisa, lemeimer dekala lav klumu, because you made a noise, that's considered halachically insignificant. That's not as if you did something to him. But that's not true. We see elsewhere that the noise does make a claim for payment. V'atani Rami Bayechesku, Rami Bayechesku learned that tarnigol shahoshit rosho li avir kli zuchuchis, if a tarnigol stuck its head inside a glass or a crystal type of a kli, and then it did various noises, it crowed, it went cock-a-doodle-doo, and it smashed the glass just with its voice, v'taka bo ushvaro, it made noises, and it broke the glass. So we see Mishalim Nezik Shalim. This goes like the opinion of Sumchus, is a famous machokis that we have in Bava Kama, as to whether Chatzi Nezik Tsroros is a din or not a din. So Sumchus says that this, in fact, it's not a din, and you have to pay full damages. But the Chachamim who argue with Sumcha say this is a halach l'Moshe b'Sinai, that when a cow is walking and it kicks pebbles, and those pebbles go and break a kli, so that's called chazi nezik tzroros, and the special din, halach l'Moshe b'Sinai, is that you only pay half damages. But the bottom line is, kol is, according to this brisa, if you make the tarnigol makes a kol, you pay, like Sumcha said, nezik shalem. From Rav Yosef, Amri Beirav, and Rav Yosef said they learned in the Beis Medrash. Beirav means in the Beis Medrash. Sus shetzonaf. If you have a horse that neighed, or a chamor shenor, or donkey that brayed, and by their noises, v'sharvu kelim so chabayis, they went and broke some utensils. They were inside the house. They brayed and neighed so loudly that it broke some utensils. So then, here we're going like the sheet of the chachamim. Mishal mechatzin ezek. This is a din of chatzin ezek tzoros. But again, the bottom line is that this call, either with the tarnigol in the glass or with the horse or the donkey neighing, you have to pay. Either you pay nezek sholim like sumchus or chatzin ezek tzoros like the opinion of the chachamim. But the question that Rav Shemin asked to Rav Ashi, you see from this brisa that Rami Bar Yecheskel learned that a kol is something. So how can you tell us over here that if the master of this Eved Kenani just made a loud noise and scared the Eved Kenani, and he therefore couldn't see or couldn't hear afterwards, that that is not considered a damage? Why not? We see from the brisa of Rami Bar Yecheskel that it is considered a valid damage. So Amalei, Rav Ashi says back to Rav Shemin, no. A person is different than an animal. Shiny other. Why is a person different? Because the cave and the bardasu, the person, the Eved Kenani, is a bardas. And therefore, why did his hearing go away? Why did his eyesight go away? He did it to himself. Ihu mivis nafshei. Yeah, there was a loud noise, but it's his psychiatric profile over here, his understanding of this noise, it shocked him so much. So he made his eyesight go away. He made his own hearing go away. So he is considered the cause of his losing his eye or his hearing, and therefore the owner isn't considered directly having done this. Yes, the owner was the one that made the noise. So this is an indirect causation, but you don't go free for an indirect causation. As opposed to with the animal, you are the direct cause because the animal is not a bardas. And therefore, your tarnigol broke the glass, your horse neighed, your donkey brayed. So therefore, they are considered that you did it, and therefore, you have to pay. And this goes in accord with the following brisa, Kedetanya. We learned in the following brisa, Hamabis es chaveru, if one person goes and scares his fellow person and causes him some sort of damage, potu b'dini adam, chai b'dini shemayim, that midin b'nei adam, in a beis din, you technically don't have to pay because this is an indirect causation. However, if you want to be yotzei yidei shemayim, you should pay it. Now, what's the scenario? Ketzad. So toka b'yazno v'chershof went and made a loud noise. That's the way we understand this here now. There are other ways to understand that he actually hit him. But in any way, we'll learn this right now, that he made a loud noise, and you caused him the chershon, you caused him to be deaf. So, potem ideni adam, however, chai ideni shemayim. But, achazohu, if you actually grabbed him and then made a loud noise, we'll talk about yosno, the chershon, when he became deaf, then you're chai, because you did an action over here by grabbing him, and therefore you held accountable. So you see, this brisa shows that if you just made a loud noise, that's considered an indirect damage, and you would not be chayv to pay midine adam. Now we have two new brises that we're going to bring down, and we're going to learn from both of them the following din. So first we start off with the two brises. Tana Rabbanan. He called al eino v'cha'asa, if the owner of the Eved Kenani hit him on his eye, but he only made his eye his vision poor. He didn't totally make him blind. Or Alshino, hit him on the tooth, vinadada, and the tooth became loose. It's moving about, but it didn't come out. Now, im yochol lishtamish ben achshav, if the eye, the vision, is still good enough that he can see to do his work, or the tooth is still not loose enough that he can still chew on this, so then, ein eved yotzei ben mecheres, and that's not considered knocking out his eye or his tooth. And therefore, ein eved yotzei ben mecheres, he doesn't go free. However, v'im lach, if he really still can see a little bit, but he can't see to do his work, or the tooth is loose, it hasn't come out, but he can't chew on it anymore, so then, eved yotzei ben mecheres, because it's no longer functional. Then we have another braisa that says, Tani Yidach, what happens if the Eved Kanani already had poor vision or a loose tooth? And now he already has very poor vision, and now the owner, the Adon, hit him, and now he's totally blind. Or Shino Neduda, he already had a loose tooth, and Vipila, and now the owner knocked it out. So this braisa tells, Im yochel ishtamish ben kvar, if previously he was able to see enough that he could do work, and he was able to chew enough even though the tooth was loose, so now, Eved Yosef ben Lecheres, he does go free. However, if his vision was already so poor to start with, not because of the Adam, that's just his natural state, and the tooth was so loose to start with, he couldn't chew on it, and he couldn't see enough with his eye beforehand, so then, even though the master now went and made him totally blind, or knocked the tooth totally out, v'imlav, ein Eved Yosef ben Lecheres, then Eved doesn't go free. Now, why do we need both prices over here? Utsricha. We need both prices because the Yashminun Ach Kamaisa, if we only had the first price to say that as long as he has some vision left, some ability to chew left, then he doesn't go free, I would have said, Mishum Dimei Kara Noho Rabari. In that situation, since he had full vision to start with and full chewing to start with, so Vahashta Noho Rechisha, and now he has poor vision or poor ability to chew, so therefore we understand why, in fact, he doesn't go free because he still can see and he still can chew. Aval Hacha, but in the second Brisa, the Meikara Nami Nahoru Kechisha, where his vision was ready poor to start with, Emelo, I would say, no, he doesn't go free, because he already had poor vision to start with. The Yeshmin Ha, if we only had a second Brisa, I would have said, Mishum Desami Legame, now you made him totally blind, that's why he goes free. Aval Hasam, in the first case, the bottom line is, the Lo Sami Legame, he still has poor vision, but he's able to see and function, so then Emelo, maybe he doesn't go free, Tzricha, therefore you need to teach us both the first and second brisa, in order to be able to understand the din fully, that if the Eved had a perfectly healthy, good eye and tooth, and then it became a weakened eye and weakened tooth because it's loose, so it all depends on functionality. If he still can function, so then he doesn't go free. If he can't function, it's considered as if it's totally knocked out. And the second brisa teaches us that it was functional in the first place, and now you knock it out, so then, since it was functional, that's considered something that is significant, and even though it was impaired beforehand, but it still was workable. But if it wasn't workable beforehand, then it's considered that it was so far gone that you can't knock it out. Okay. Now we have another braisa, Tana Rabbanon, Harei Shoyo Rabo Rofe. What happens if the master was a doctor, and the servant over here, the Eved Kanani, had something wrong with his eye, and he went to his master, the doctor, to go get treated. Harei Shoyo Rabo Rofe, Ba'amalo L'chol Lo Eino, and he wanted to take some medicine. The slave said to the master, do me a favor, go do a surgery on my eye. Go put in a salve. Go put in various medications on my eye. V'sima, and in doing so, there's always a risk in these procedures, and the master blinded him. Or in the following situation, the master is a dentist, and he tells him, the Eved Kanani tells him, Lachter Loshino, go and clean out my tooth, there's something in his teeth, and whatever he was asked to do, Vipila, and taking care of the tooth, the master accidentally knocked the tooth out. So according to the Tanakam in this Raisa, Sichik Ba'odon, this Eved goes laughing all the way to the bank, V'yotzel Cheiris, and he goes free. On the other hand, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, the Pasuk says, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, v'shichasa, it says you have to intend to do this, ad sheyiskaven l'shachasa, until you intended to. In this situation, the doctor, ophthalmologist owner, or the dentist owner, had no intention of blinding and respectively knocking out the tooth, and therefore, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, would not go out. V'shichasa means that it has to be with intention. No, what about the Chachamim? The Rabbanon, Hai v'shichasa amayot lei. So what are they darshan for the word v'shichasa? They say you do go out. They say, Sichik ba'adam v'yotzel l'cheiris. But what do they do with the word v'shichasa? So the Chachamim need it, mi'boilu l'chedetanya. They need it for what we learn in the following braisa.
The Braisa tells us, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Hare Shahoshit Yodo Lemei Shivchaso. A man has a Shivcha Kinanis that's going into labor. He's an obstetrician. And he goes and trying to do the delivery to take the baby out. The baby's stuck. His baby's not coming out. Baby's a breech delivery, whatever. And he sticks his hand inside to the womb of the mother. The Sime Ubar Shibameyah. And in taking out the baby, the baby's born, but he blinds the baby while he goes and helps to assist in the delivery. So in this situation, that baby slave remains a slave, Potter. The baby doesn't go out. It's not considered shein va'ayin in this situation. Why not? My taima, because of the pasuk d'amakro v'shichasa, which means achiyachavin l'shachasa, that he has to have specific intention to do work on the eye. Never mind that he obviously had no intention to go and put out the eye, but he wasn't even working on the eye. He was just trying to deliver the baby. The baby was not coming out. The baby would have died, so he tried to deliver the baby. He wasn't even working on the eye, and that's what you need v'shichasa to go and teach you. However, if he had been working on the eye, he was an ophthalmologist, and he was in fact treating the eye, and then he blinded the person, so then in fact, that would be a case of shein v'ayin, even though it was unintentional to blind him, but since he was working on the eye, the Chacham would say that that is applicable, shein v'ayin, and the Eved Kenani would go out. No, why doesn't Rosh Hashanah learn that way? The Idach. So he says, no, if you wanted to just teach me the case of the obstetrician who wasn't even working on the eye and then blinded the baby, so that baby doesn't go out, that baby stays as an Eved Kenani, so then it should have just said Vishiches. Now, from the fact that it says Vishichasa, mi Vishiches, Shichasa Navka, so he learns out both of these dinim from the extra hay, instead of Vishiches, it says Vishichasa, he learns out both, that the person who is unintentionally, the obstetrician who unintentionally blinded, but even the one, the eye doctor that's working on the eye, or the dentist who's working on the tooth, since even though they were working directly on that area of the body, but it wasn't their intention to do so, so from the extra hay, the Shichasa teaches us that the Eved Kenani doesn't go out. No, why don't the Chacham learn like that? So Gemara says, the Chacham don't learn that drasha. Shichas Shichasa lo dorish. So they don't hold this drasha, and therefore they say it made no difference whether the Torah wrote Shichas or Shichasa. We only have one drasha to learn, and therefore we're only going to learn the drasha of the obstetrician who's helping to deliver his Shivcha Kenanis, who wasn't even working on the eye, wasn't working on the tooth, and then knocked out the eye, knocked out the tooth. In that situation, the little baby that's born, the Eved Kenani that's born, doesn't go out. But in a case where it was an ophthalmologist working on the eye, or in fact a dentist working on the tooth, and they do knock it out, albeit unintentionally, the Eved Kenani would go out. Then we have another din. Omer Rishayis, Hari Shaisa Eino Simuya V'chitita. If a Eved Kenani was already blind, so he's starting off with a blind eye, and then for whatever happened, the owner knocked out the eye, actually detached the eye from the person. In this situation, Eved Yotze Ben L'Cheres, this too is considered a din of ayin, the Shichasa, and the Eved Kenani goes free. Why? My taima. Because Mechuser Evahu, this isn't because of his blindness, he was already blind beforehand, but now he's missing an Aver, he's missing the eye, and therefore that's why the Eved Kenani goes out in this situation. And I'll show you that this is right, the Gemara says, because we have a brisa in support of it. V'tana tuna, we learn in the following brisa, tamus v'zachrus b'vehema, that in regards to animals, when you're bringing korbanos, so you can have a male or a female animal, and you can have a tam, an unblemished animal, and you can have a balmum, a blemished animal. So in regards to animals, we have both gender, and we have the concept of a mum. However, by bird offerings, v'ein tamus v'zachrus b'ofos, but by bird offerings, there is no concept of the standard mumim, and there is no difference between a male or a female bird. Both of them, when you need to have a bird offering, it can make no difference whether you bring a male or a female bird. However, Yochel, I might have thought that, therefore, if you're telling me that there's no Baal Mum in regards to bird, I would have said, maybe Yochel, Yovsho Gapa, if the wing was dried up, or Nikta Raglo, or if the leg was cut off, or Nekta Toeno, or if the eye was severed, if the eye was out, that is also not considered a Baal Mum, and therefore, even those types of highly blemished birds could be brought. Talmud Lomer, it says, no, you'll go bring Min Ha'ov. Pasuk says, if you go and bring a karban, an ola, min ha'of, so it means not all the of, min is a miut, and therefore min ha'of means velo kola of. So there are some types of birds that are considered a bamum when it's mechuser aver. So this concept of Malchus Eivir is above and beyond a regular mum. So in the case of the Eved Kenani, even though he was blind beforehand, if you knock out the eye itself, so then Eved Yosei Bahem Lucheiris. Mark continues and says, Rav Chiya Barash Zedim Rav, Hay Solo, if the Eved Kenani had, and we turn to Chafei Amud Aleph, Yiseiras V'chatocho, Yiseiras Rashi says, is Etzba Yiseiras. So this person, this Eved Kenani, had six fingers, and you then cut off one of the fingers, so this would be one of the 24 Rashi Evarim. So under normal circumstances, this would be considered something that the Eved Kenani would go out. So in this situation also, even though it's an extra finger, it's a Yeseres, nevertheless, Eved Yotzei Behem L'Cheiris. Even though you cut off this extra finger, the Eved goes out to freedom. But Amar Rav Huna, he qualifies this and he says, Ushin is speris agavayat. That's only if it's in perfect alignment with the other fingers on the hand. As Rashi says, Shaisa bishuras sharetz bos. It was in line with the other fingers. But if the finger came out, let's say, from the wrist, or if the finger came out as a nubbin from other part of the arm, so then if you removed such a finger, while it's a yeseris, it's an extra finger, but that wouldn't allow the Eved Kenani to go out because that's not considered a normal finger. It has to be a normal finger, albeit the number could be six, and this din of going out with the Rashi Evarim would apply as long as it was along the line of the other fingers. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.